Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we meet one of the most interesting composers in jazz over the past few years. Amina Figurova is a native of Azerbaijan who grew up playing classical music and listening to jazz. She studied classically at the Baku Conservatory in Azerbaijan before moving to the Netherlands, where her interest in jazz soared. But in fact, her first CD was a classical CD recording the music of Rachmaninoff, Scriabin, and Vinyavsky. But very shortly afterwards, Figurova turned to jazz exclusively and began writing music that shares compositional elements with jazz orchestras, even though it's written for only six or seven musicians. Figurova's music has been compared to the great contemporary female writers in jazz like Toshiko Akiyoshi and Maria Schneider. For many years, she and her husband, flutist Bart Plateau, who's a part of her group, played, concertized, and recorded CDs in Europe. But several years ago, the couple moved to New York. Their latest CD, 12, which is her 12th recording, reflects her first music since moving to the United States. Amina Figurova and her sextet will be appearing tomorrow night at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame for a 7 p.m. concert, and she joins us today on Studio Tulsa. Amina Figurova, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, when I first heard your music, I was struck by the strong compositional element in it. Then I learned your group plays nothing but originals, and mainly your originals, I assume. And so obviously your band is really a compositional element. Do you structure your music around your players, or what exactly?
You know, I don't have to structure music around my players because since I have this band, and I have this band already for many years, 12 years, although players change, but anyway, all the members, all the lengths of all this period of time, and today are so incredible. I don't have to think about their ability because they can anything I write, they can play. So I'm in a pretty luxury situation. But for me, the main inspiration to have a septet, I had first septet and then it became sextet, was a big band. So that was the main inspiration for my writing, and then it starts, of course, changing. But that was always my goal, to write for the band so that it sounds like as if it's a big band, a wide range brass section, you know, mm-hmm. just using the only three.
Well, I was going to say, that in your early work, that's what comes through, is a very contemporary sounding jazz orchestra, although it's only a septet or sextet.
That's right.
Can you talk about your compositional style a little bit? Because what inspires you to write?
You know, writing was for me, throughout my life, the way to express myself. I start writing very early, and I did not think of it as writing because I couldn't write music at the time. I was only 3 years old, and I started describing musically whatever I've seen or done or felt or colors. And later on, when I went to a music school and I was playing classical music, so I was inspired by the classical musicians. Of course, I was writing everything a la Mozart. Later on, I went into romantic. You know, every period of my life, wherever I was doing, it would be reflected in my music. And later on, when it came to my septet, as I said, big band was a big inspiration for me in a way of the sound. But what the most important to me, I think, through my life, is describing whatever is it an event or a sound or any kind of experience in my life. That's what I describe musically. And it can be even a color. It can be just a feeling. But to me, it's as a writer writes books, that's the way I see the music. And of course, there are lots of great writers that inspire me. But it's an extra addition to my main inspiration. My main inspiration are stories.
No.
I often call some of my CDs or some of my projects, I often call movie, just audio movie with no video, because basically I can see everything when I play, but it's an audio movie.
Well, you're certainly, your new recording, 12, has some of that in mind. I'm thinking the first, I think it's the first cut on the CD, is homage to the New York City subway system, is it?
That's right. That's right. New York subway system in the middle of the night, which is kind of funky and great and funny. As a jazz musician, of course, you mostly come home from the club date late at night. And there's lots of happy people around on the train. So, and then I was sitting one day and I was listening to the sound of the trains, and there was all kind of things going on. So I heard the main thing was the sound of the train, and that was the melody I've heard, and I wrote the bass. And from there, you know, it went further and further, but that was my inspiration for NYCST.
Well, let's hear NYCST. This is the first cut off your most recent recording, 12. And let's hear a portion of that from my guest today, Amina Figueroa. Music by my guest today, Amina Figueroa, who will be appearing with her sextet in Tulsa tomorrow night at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame. Amina Figueroa, from her most recent recording, 12, which is actually your 12th album. Now, was that,
right,
is that how the composition 12 came about, or I assume there's another story there?
Well, the story to this composition that I simply expressed the way I feel. The way I feel here in New York. It was our very long wish to move to New York. When we went to Berklee College of Music in 92, we were going back and forth to New York. And first time coming to New York, both of us, myself and my husband, who is a flutist, knew my band and on the CD, he and I, we felt this is the place for us. This is where we want to live. This is where we want to spend the rest of our lives. But then somehow, you know, we were on exchange program, so we went back to Europe. And then we were preoccupied with gigs and stuff. And every year we promised ourselves that we will move to New York. And, well, it happened many years later. And I felt finally so much in balance. It's so energy-wise and everything-wise, it's so right for me, that this composition simply reflects the way I feel. It's totally yin and yang, is in balance, and that's why I call this one 12.
Now, I know that you spent a number of years in Europe, and really from a jazz musician's perspective, yes, you can be in New York, but really Europe is sometimes more conducive towards jazz. There's more opportunities, it seems like, to play in Europe. You know, many American jazz musicians spend half their time in Europe playing. There's lots of opportunities. Was that difficult to leave, to move to the United States? Or you feel like that there's just such a different vibe in the United States that it's conducive to your music?
Yeah, I guess the second. It was not a difficult thing to move to U.S. at all, or to leave it behind, because basically, nowadays, you don't leave anything behind. There's a plane, there's the airport, you go back and forth whenever you, you know, you need to. But it's most important to me, the place where I live, the place where I create. And when I'm based, it has to be very right I'm very intuitive person, and energy that surrounds me, people that surround me, that's very, very important to me, and can be very depending on this right or wrong energy. So that's why for me it was important to be here. And there are great developments all over Europe, of course, but there's incredible movement and a very interesting development in jazz, and I think in all kinds of music in New York. So that's why, and besides, indeed, musicians and New York musicians, but also European musicians, travel so much back and forward that there is such a strong fusion of both continents here in New York, and I feel it's very, very present.
Now, did you notice any change in your writing once you moved to the United States? Because I know this new album, 12, is the first album of music that you really composed here, correct?
That's right. I don't know if it's anything changed in writing, because since my album, September Suite, that was a big change for me. I discovered new directions for myself. And since then, I was always battling with myself, you know, where do I go? And then I decided not to question myself too much or not to pressure myself too much what direction I go, just, you know, let it go. And on this album, 12, I felt it was very free to express myself without thinking, shall I go this or that direction? And, of course, this album was created and produced as we, you know, we moved there probably half a year later, start working on the album. So it's hard to tell if it's really drastically changed my writing. I think I can say it maybe with years. And besides, it's very hard for myself to judge my own writing. I guess it will be up to listeners and journalists to reflect it better.
Well, let's hear a little more music from this the new CD. It's titled 12. Let's hear the title cut that also features a nice little piano interlude at the beginning. And I noticed a number of these tracks on this particular album has that. Was that just the way it turned out, or was that something you did expressly?
You know, I love to play those intros and some solo works in between. I also play sometimes too. That doesn't happen very often, and I don't play really solo recitals. I guess those are my little solo recitals moments, also on the concert. Actually, it was an interesting discovery for me when we were recording CD Night Train that, I guess, 10 years ago. I had this idea of it's kind of fantasy album, very romantic, and I had this idea of a night train, taking the train through the night, and this nice little melody, and I recorded most of the album in the studio, and then I decided to record just one trio piece in a concert hall, because I just couldn't find the right atmosphere in the studio. And so we went to the concert hall with the whole mixing tables and the whole thing, and I recorded a trio, and then my husband and who was co-producing the CD and the sound engineer, they said, why don't you play some, because they heard me playing those intros, why don't you play more of this, and I'll just record it. And I was like, why? You know, this album was already done. No, just play something. So I was by myself alone in this huge concert hall. It's actually Philharmonie concert hall in the Netherlands. And playing this intro one after another. And I was just not thinking, actually, about recording. He recorded everything. And then after I was listening to it, and it became as a almost theme to all to the whole CD. I call them interludes, and that somehow got me more into playing those interludes and those long intro sometimes, live on the concert, I will take more time for those solo moments. So that's when it started, and it's going to intros. And again, life depends on the situation, but sometimes I take some time, really, time for that.
Well, let's hear one of
those. 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, well, let's hear one of those intros from the recording. It's the titled cut of the album, 12. This is my guest today, Amina Figueroa. My guest today is Amina Figueroa, composer, pianist, jazz pianist, who will be appearing at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame tomorrow night, a 7 o'clock concert, as they are touring in this part of the country. And, well, let's talk a little bit about your band. Of course, your husband, Bart Plateau, has been with mm-hmm. you for many, many years and is an incredible flutist. And from what it sounds like to me, that both of you guys were classically trained and probably could have made it as a classical musician, but decided to pick jazz because he has a beautiful classical flute sound.
Yeah, he has a very strong sound, and I think secret to that is not only that he's a classically trained musician, but he doesn't play any reed instruments, which is very important for the sound of flute. He has the right embouchure for flute because he never, ever even touched saxophone or clarinet, so that's why his sound is so pure.
Yeah, it is an incredibly pure sound, and it must be fun to compose for him because of that.
Absolutely. It's funny, when I was growing up in Azerbaijan, I used to listen to all kinds of music, lots of Motown music, but also lots of Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, and both of them used at the time great flute players, played Joe Farrell and Hubert Loss. And I always loved the sound of flute in a band. I was always looking for those recordings with the flute. It was always fascinating for me. And funny enough, later I met this incredible flute player who became my husband. But it was a fascination for me when I was growing up.
You've really worked hard to keep your working band together. I know you've had personnel changes over, as any band will have, but that's been very important to you, especially in this day and age where a lot of times people come together for a tour and that's it. Why is that so important to you?
It's like a good marriage. You cannot fake the synergy and chemistry. Even if I do some personnel change in the band, I'm still trying to make sure that there's another set of musicians playing and touring with me, because the chemistry on a stage, the band sound, that's what it makes so unique. I think for many bands, not just my band, when you hear, and I think in old days there were lots of bands, and that's when you listen to those great bands, you know, you could recognize the sound, not just of one particular musician, but of the band. Mm-hmm. And those are my big examples. I mean, if you listen to Maria Schneider Band, you hear it's a Maria Schneider orchestra. You hear it right away.
Duke Ellington in the old days. Duke Ellington had a unique sound. Count Basie did. And, of course, Phil Woods today. You hear a small group, you can just hear Phil Woods. You can hear Miles Davis over the years. It's the same way, yeah.
Absolutely, and that's very important. Those are my examples. And I'm trying. As much as I can.
Well, I think you're doing a very good at trying. I like to hear a little more music from the CD. Is there a particular tune that you would like us to hear today?
They're all very different. The three compositions that I call Ocean Trilogy reflect very much all of those reflect very much my favorite moods, because I love ocean, I love sea. I grew up at the Caspian Sea. That's so important for me that I can go here to the beach. And those are Another Side of the Oceans, Nikki Seagulls, and Shut Eyes, Sea Waves. So one of those three.
Okay. How about Shut Eyes, Sea Waves?
Sure.
I love that.
It's a meditation piece. It's a meditation piece.
Yeah, it's almost a little poem, too. Shut Eyes, Sea Waves.
I thought about haiku. Of course, I can't write haiku, but that was kind of idea behind it.
All right, well, let's hear Shut Eyes, Sea Waves here on Studio Tulsa. That's music by my guest today, Amina Figueroa. Her sextet will be appearing at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame, part of a tour across the United States, getting to places you've never been before. I assume Oklahoma and Arkansas. You'll be playing in Arkansas the following night. Those are places you haven't played yet. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, you mentioned growing up in Baku, Azerbaijan, and was jazz a part of your growing up, or was it something you discovered once you were in conservatory?
No, it was a part of my growing up very much. Both of my parents and mainly my mother, she adored jazz. We always had those LPs on with Andrew Kellington and Ella Fitzgerald, Oscar Peterson, jazz of that time. But yes, I grew up very much listening to lots of jazz, but also a lot of classical music. And we have a huge jazz tradition in Azerbaijan because I think that's what I think, but I'm more or less sure that that's the reason, is that the folk music is very improvisational. It's basically as in jazz we have in our folk music, theme, improvisation, going back to the theme. So that's in jazz we use the chords to improvise, in Azerbaijan music scales. So all those elements, and somehow even in a popular music, people will use a lot of jazz musicians for those jazz harmonies. It's on people's ear. Let's say rock music never really was successful over there, but the jazz was and is successful. So that's why I did grow listening to jazz music, and later on I turned, in fact, to Motown music. So.
Yeah.
Those are two styles I was listening a lot.
Now, you enjoyed some success in classical music. I mean, they just don't let anybody make a classical recording. You recorded Rachmaninoff, Scriabin, and Vinyavsky.
That's right.
And
yes.
But at some point you said, nope, I'm going to, my future's in jazz. About that age, it's like you have to do the competition circuit to make a name for yourself. Was that something mm-hmm. you didn't want to do, or was jazz just speaking to you louder?
That's a very good question. I did play those competitions, and in fact, that year that I moved to the Netherlands, the reason why I ended up in the Netherlands is because I had a choice between going to Belgium, Queen Elizabeth competition,
yes, very
or
prestigious.
Going to the Netherlands to do the concert tour. And I was very ambitious, of course, preparing for those competitions. I mean, if you play for competition, you want to win, that's clear. And this is what I was going for. And then very last moment, I heard that, and it was confirmed that only students that were taking private lessons with certain teachers that were connected to the jury had a chance. And I was not one of them. And it had nothing to do with your professional skills. It had to do only with your connections. So that actually was enough for me to decide not to do the competition.
Mm. Well, we're glad you made the decision you did.
Yeah. So I went instead on a concert tour in the Netherlands, and as I was touring, there was a program about me in the Netherlands over my hobby, which is at the time was writing popular music. And then I was asked for a project, and I was asked to I was invited to study composition at a conservatory in Rotterdam. Mm. And I tried, I didn't like that, but then I met incredible pianist over there and took a lesson or two, and the next thing I was at conservatory, and the next thing I was already on exchange on Berklee College.
All right.
And the next thing was my first jazz album. So it was, as I always compare my life to falling into the waterfall and let it, you know, take me to wherever it takes me. And that's what happened.
Well, we're very glad you made that decision, because it resulted in some incredible music, and we look forward to hearing it here in Tulsa. You know, earlier you said you were really influenced by the big band and in your compositional style, and you mentioned Maria Schneider, and I just have to think, is a big band in your future at some point, writing for a jazz orchestra? Because, you know, that's the ultimate compositional process in jazz, writing for jazz orchestra. You think that will happen someday?
It might. The thing is that one of my tours this year, I was doing also some master classes in universities. And in one of the universities, Memphis University, actually, a few students arranged some of my compositions for the big band, and we performed it there. And I really loved I loved the way they arranged it as well. They did a great job. So that definitely inspires to do more of that. That might happen one day, I don't know when, but my hands are full with this writing for my band, and I also do another writing stuff, but that definitely might happen one day.
All right, we look forward to the appearance here in Tulsa. Amina Figueroa, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jazz composer and pianist Amina Figueroa speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. She and her sextet will be appearing tomorrow night at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame for a 7 o'clock concert. Her latest recording is titled 12. We're going to leave you with more music by Amina Figueroa. Studio Tulsa is produced by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.